This is the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, Friday, March 16th, 2012. Good morning, members and interested parties. This morning, we have a lengthy agenda, and just as an overview, what I'm going to tell you what we're going to do is we're going to be discussing the Omnibus Liquor Bill, and I know there will be amendments and there will be some discussion. We do not intend on having testimony on any of the issues we've already heard from. If members have some specific questions, of course, and somebody's in the audience, we won't deny that opportunity. But of course, like I say, we do have a lot of things to get through. And after the first couple of bills, I know that other members probably have other bills to present in other committees. I know I do as well. And so I will be departing for a little while. And we'll come and go. If you want to make sure that you're here for a particular vote, please let us know, and we'll make sure we schedule accordingly.
Yeah, now it's going to be fluid with taking votes and allowing people to get
right. Yes, and we usually during this week we are, or especially on the last day of committee deadlines, we are somewhat fluid on allowing members to move around and have their votes cast. So with that, what I'm going to do is. I think we can simply handle this this bill from the table here. I'm not going to step up to the witness table with this since it's an omnibus bill. And members, what was released yesterday, late afternoon, was what items that we had heard of all of the liquor bills that had been laid over, has been included in an omnibus bill. And, of course, I'm going to go through and discuss those. We have some additional amendments in language to do some things here. And members, of course, are free to discuss, ask questions, make motions, put things in, take things out. And there also will be a number of the liquor bills we heard that will be moving separately. There'll be made some motions if members want to do so, and moving those to other appropriate committees. So with that, members, what I would draw your attention to here is we have the A2 amendment, and we have the first thing I'm going to do is I would like to move the A2 amendment onto Senate File 2392. I guess if this is mine, then I can't share this. So I'm going to right. So I'm not going to share this. So I'm going to turn this over to Senator Gazelka. And let me make sure my
Senator Gerlach.
Phone is off. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's phones Senator are on vibrate or off. Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of the A2 amendment, and I think that I think the proper procedure is probably for me to go through it first. It's not an author's amendment. Of course, we've heard these.
Then I would move
adoption of the A2 amendment after I would go through it.
So, Senator Gerlach, why don't you discuss the A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The A2 amendment, Section 1 was the Rosen bill dealing with the out-of-state craft brewers. And upon conclusion of the explanation of the A2 amendment, if the A2 amendment is adopted, there is an additional amendment which limits the scope of this to the city of Winnebago, and we can take that discussion up later on. But that is Section 1. Section 2 is the primary source bill. That was Senator Limmer's. That is included in the omnibus bill. Section 3 is Senator Howe's bulk wine purchasing for farm wineries. Section 4 is Senator Howe's wine festival. If you recall, this was allowing for a maximum of 6 bottles in total per customer being sold off sale at a wine festival. And then Section 5 would be Senator Hall's wine educator on sale license. And I'll say that we've had some discussion in this committee about licensure, and we'll continue to do so. But the way I saw this was that My predilection is to reduce licensure requirements. This, in fact, was something that this person could not do at all. So by this happening, it actually lowers the bar, the entry into the marketplace, and allows these folks to be able to do this. And I would like to maybe have some discussion, and I don't know that Senator Hall's here or not. Oh, he did. Okay. We may, I'm going to, I want you to think about this, and Senator Hall and anybody else in the audience, but there was that subdivision within that bill, and I will defer to this, a little bit of discussion with committee members, but I had asked a question about how in the world would you enforce the level of detail on the so many ounces per person, per hour, per event, per day, that sort of thing, and I'm going to suggest maybe that level of detail is not maybe not needed. I just can't see how that could be enforced, but we can discuss that. That's one item I'd like to come back to, but in concept, the wine educator license is in the bill, and I also tell members that we will also have to take this bill separately and send it to the Committee on Finance as well, and so it will be dual-tracked if the committee agrees in passage of that piece. The next section is Senator Latz. And this was a bill that we had heard last year regarding an exclusive liquor store being allowed to sell clothing marked with their name and logo for marketing purposes. It was not included last year. We did not need to rehear the bill, but we have included that in this year's bill. The next item, Section 7, is also a LATS bill, and this one we did hear the other night, and this had to do with the exclusive liquor stores conducting classes on tasting. And Section 8 was the first, was the Senator Langseth provision about Blue Stem Center for the Arts and their liquor license. We heard this at the very beginning of the testimony when we started the long list, and this one was very brief, and I know some members were not in the room. But we have not received any opposition or controversy surrounding the Langseth bill. And then Section 9 is the Senator Higgins provision about the city of Minneapolis. Members, we've had some discussions about that in and outside of committee. And one of the discussion items on that was where is the city resolution on that? And I discussed that with Senator Higgins, and she has provided a letter at this point from the city, from the mayor, and from those city council members that could be found. I understand numerous members of the city council are at a national conference, but this is what Senator Higgins is offering up as a temporary item of support from the city council, and she has told me and I think some other members of the committee that the city council will be taking this member up at their first opportunity and providing a more formal city resolution as this bill moves forward, so that members should have that. And that then, Section 10 was, just the revisor's instruction. So members, those are the items that are included in this bill. And what I think we could do is, if members have any questions of me, we can certainly discuss that. And then we have a couple of amendments that we know about here. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Further discussion, Senator retired Senator Chamberlain.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just a quick question. When Section 9, when would we expect a resolution from the city for this? I understand, Mr. Chair, that the city could handle this issue on their own. I know you debated it the other night, so I don't need to get back into that. I understand the city can handle this on their own, but they've come up here to request our assistance. And with that, I'm fine with helping them out, but we would expect a resolution. And when would we expect that resolution? They've known about this for quite some time, obviously, so now they're out on conferences or something. So did they give you a time when they might have that resolution?
Senator Gerlach, or is that to Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer to Senator Higgins.
Senator Higgins, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Chamberlain, if you look at the resolution, the last paragraph of the letter states that the resolution will be it doesn't even say it will be taken up. It says it will be passed at the next full city council meeting, which is March 30th.
Senator Chamberlain?
Mr. Chair, when would this bill be going to the floor? Would we have this before the would we have the resolution before the floor?
Senator Gerlach.
Mr. Chairman Senator Chamberlain, this bill would not be coming up to the floor for I believe a couple of weeks. And I'm sorry, Senator Higgins, I actually was marking something here and I missed your response. But
Mr. Chair, Senator Gerlach, the last paragraph of the letter says that the council will take this up and pass it at the very next full city council meeting, which is March 30th. Then there is a provision for a day or two for the mayor to sign it, and then then it becomes official in their world. But we can certainly have it as soon as the action is complete. If the bill doesn't get taken up on the floor until after this date, we will have it on the floor for members.
Senator Chamberlain, is that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Higgins.
Thank you.
Further discussion?
Then, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gerlach.
I would, if Senator Hall's in the room, maybe he could. He had to go to another committee. Well, members, then we'll just see if this is what the feeling of the members are. What I wanted to do is discuss briefly on the wine educators on sale license. This would be Section 5, members of the bill. And I believe I could accurately represent his take on this, and we'll see what members think. There's a subdivision, too. This would be line 3.1 through 3.3. And my question in committee was, where did that language come from when we discussed this? And it was thoroughly researched by the proponents, and it had been taken from another part of statute dealing with cooking classes and such. And honestly, it just struck me as something that seems like comfort language, but yet I can't conceive of how this could even remotely be enforceable would be the first point. And the second point is that this is the reason that liability insurance is carried. And so it looks to me like it's more unnecessary, unenforceable comfort language than it is any real law. And members, it just simply reads, wine educators may conduct classes and dispense wine for tasting purposes in an amount not to exceed 5 ounces per hour per person for a maximum of 3 hours to any one class in one day. And with all of those, I cannot conceive of how anybody could document or deal with that. And so, members, I discussed that with Senator Hall, and he said that essentially that was put in by the proponents of the bill as something that thought that would make their bill or us feel more comfortable with this. And honestly, I feel fine with the bill without something that I believe to be unenforceable and is already covered with Dram Shop insurance. So, members, I would open this up to if anybody has a question about that, and if or to discuss it. Otherwise, then, Mr. Chairman, I might move the move that. But, Mr.
Welcome, Mr. Bagnoli. I see you've got some comments. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Gerlach, and I apologize for not following up with you sort of on that topic, because I know you mentioned it the other night. The reason, and I guess to tell you where I'm going to end is I'm not sure either way if this one makes a difference. The reason on this particular issue, because of all of the lines in there that you mentioned, but the reason that those amounts are set in statute is not because I think anyone realizes that they are. It gets difficult to enforce. Is it 4? I don't even remember the ounces, but is it 5 ounces or 7 ounces or 9 ounces? You know what? How many ounces? But frankly, they're put in there as a means by which, if someone is wildly violating or somehow abusing this provision in a way that no one foresaw when we did this, that there would be a way, i.e., they were having for-profit parties based upon of this provision, it would provide the enforcers some ability to go in and stop those potentially extremely egregious activities. Clearly, no enforcement would likely ever occur if there was a change of an ounce or 2 ounces or 3 ounces here. So I think that's the reason, and that's the reason in other sections you'll see sort of those ounce levels. It's to provide, if enforcement does need to be taken, if someone is egregiously going over or using the statute in a way that no one ever thought of or intended it to be, that enforcement would be able to be taken.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Bagnoli. I appreciate that, and the one concern I would have with that is that then you're relying on regulators to do selective enforcement, because if some could be violating but not greatly violating it or being egregious, and then it doesn't come to light or you just sort of look the other way or you don't do anything about it because it's not too egregious, but then if it becomes egregious, then you can drop the hammer. I understand what you're saying. A similar experience. I had a discussion with my some city council members at a public meeting about a sign ordinance, and that it was very similar to this in that signs residents were complaining about all of the political signs, and of course, then the proposal was to ban all signs. Well, then the realtors are saying, but our signs are temporary, and there's not the complaints. But then the solution seems to be apparently in some of our cities is that they ban the signs, but then they look the other way on the commercial ones, and then they just ban the political ones. And that creates its own issues about, you know, First Amendment and those sorts of things and selective enforcement. And I just thought, not that I feel enormously strongly about it, but I just think that that what you're saying is could lead to selective enforcement based on regulators' opinions rather than the rule of law. And I just think it's unenforceable. So I'm open to members' discussion on it, and then I would move it. But
Discussion.
Then, members, I would move an oral amendment to delete lines 3.1 to 3.3 from the bill.
Discussion on that amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we have the A4 amendment, which is being passed out, and I can simply explain it while it's being passed out. I've discussed this before. This is to the Rosen provision here on her bill about the out-of-state craft brewers. And following the committee hearing, where there had some discussion about the broadness or narrowness of Senator Rosen's bill, and this, I believe, was purported as an agreement, and I don't know if Mr. Bagnoli wants to speak to this or not, or it's just simply pretty straightforward, that this would limit this to Winnebago and not have it be wide open to everything else at this time. So, members, I would move adoption of the A4 amendment.
Is there any discussion?
Any discussion, members?
Seeing none, all in favor of adoption of the
amendment. Seeing none, all in favor of adoption of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Motion prevails.
Motion prevails.
A4 amendment is adopted.
A4 amendment is adopted.
Yes, you're right. And
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The council pointed out that it's a good idea to add an effective date on the wine festival provision. This would be Section 4 of the bill. We would want to add an effective date line that says that this section is effective the day following final enactment, and that would apply to Section 4. And that would be the wine festivals of the 6 bottles. And that, because I don't know when they're going to hold this, but we may not want them to wait until August 1st. They may hold this earlier. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of the oral amendment, adding the effective date for Section 4.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you for being patient with a novice. Okay. Further discussion on the bill.
Okay. Am I missing anything else?
Senator Daines. Senator Daines, could you pull your microphone in?
Thank you. I'd like to present an oral amendment. I would like to amend the Senate File 2392 by striking Section 2.
Is there any discussion on this amendment? Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand there's some people who, for some reason, even though we had such a long amount of testimony, did not come to the table last time and have asked to be, if I would request that they be recognized, and it's the Retailers Association. I know you did not want to do that, Senator Gerlach, but I've been asked if they could just briefly say on the record one sentence. So,
Mr. Chairman.
One sentence, Senator Bonner.
So, retailers, if you want to say something, come to the table.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
One sentence.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Period.
Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is James Erickson. I'm here representing the Minnesota Wine and Spirits Group, one of several Minnesota retail associations. Actually, we are referred to as the Rogue Association at the hearing the other day. And I guess in that sense, I'm appearing here as something of the skunk at the, as the skunk at the garden party. I will be very brief. You heard from one of our members, Jim Sertic, and he articulated the opposition of that group of retailers whose names are listed on the letter that's now being passed out about the critical importance of not, repeat, not changing the primary source agreement that we now have in statute. We are here, and if you'll indulge me just a couple moments, Mr. Chairman, we are here opposing a very strange combination of the largest wholesalers in the state and the Teamsters Union, and that puts us
Sir,
in a great disadvantage.
Sir, I really need you to be brief about this.
I will be brief. I will make one point. If this bill passes, if this provision of the bill passes, I can assure you that I will be back and my members will be back here in January, and we will hold up a price list of the prices that are available to the to retailers and consumers now, today, under primary source, and we'll hold up a price list of what the situation is in January with this bill in place. And there will be a significant difference that my members pay and your constituents pay. I would best estimate in many cases up to $2 a bottle. This is not about public safety. You know that. I know that. This is about consumer pricing.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Any further discussion on this amendment?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gerlach.
Section 2, of course, obviously deals with the primary source, and I would just say that I included in the bill, and it is the will of the committee as to whether this would stay in or come out.
Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, all those in favor?
On the amendment.
On the amendment. On the amendment, excuse me. On the A4 oral amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Motion prevails.
Ding the gavel.
Any further discussion on the bill?
Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I would move the bill, Senate File 2392, as amended. Be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. Or I'm sorry, sent to general orders.
All those in favor of the Gerlach motion say aye.
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 Opposed, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Senate File 2392 as amended is sent to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. There are two bills that I wanted to move, that I'm aware of, or that I intend to move separately. And the first one we can take up, which I... well, then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2186 be taken from the table. And you find out, I don't know the number, which one is, which issue is this? Vice card?
Yes.
Okay. Members.
All those in favor of the Gerlach motion to take it off the table, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senate File 2186 is before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Senate File 2186 is the buyer's card issue, and there may be an oral amendment to that as well that the department has offered up, which if I can, we'll just give us a moment here to shuffle papers and make sure we've got it. Members, this would be, are we adding?
We're adding this clause.
Okay. Members, what we're doing in is, do we have this to hand out to members or not?
No.
Oh but not all this. I'm going to let Senate Counsel explain because they talked directly to Senate Counsel on this. Mr. Chairman, I'll turn over to Mr. Stang.
Thank you, Mr. Stang.
Mr. Chairman, this was just a technical suggestion by the department to make sure this amendment works, and I think it's a good amendment. The department suggested on line 19 of Senate File 2186. Before the new word in there, we insert notwithstanding section 340A.401. It's merely technical to carry out the intent of this bill.
Senator Gerlach.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that oral amendment to Senate File 2186.
All those in favor of the Gerlach motion say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2186 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance.
Discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
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 Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. The next item is, this will be the wine. Okay, and we're going to need to make that amendment as well. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2337 be taken from the table, and members, this is the wine educator.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chairman and members, I would... I'd like to move the same amendment which was adopted in the omnibus bill, which would be on the bill to the lines. Okay, these lines will not line up. I won't go by line number, but I will say that it is paragraph 2, which simply states that wine educators may conduct classes and dispense wine for tasting purposes in an amount not to exceed 5 ounces per hour per person for a maximum of 3 hours to any one class in any one year. That is the language that we struck from the from this bill in the omnibus bill. I would like to also move, Mr. Chairman, to strike that from the bill, the separate bill.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sparks.
Senator Gerlach, I'm not opposed to what you're doing. I'm just wondering why we're moving these bills separately, 2186 that we just took action on and now 2337.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gerlach. Senator Sparks, because there are some fee items in here, and so it would need to go to finance, and if we only have it in our omnibus bill, then that whole bill needs to go through finance, and rather what we wanted to do is dual track this. We'll send his bill separately. It will be identical to what we have in our omnibus bill. We'll send it to finance. If they should make some changes, of course, we will certainly respect their work when it would come, but the idea is to not hold it up but able to dual track it.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that oral amendment to Senate File 2337.
Senator Gerlach moves to delete lines 1.13 through 1.15. Senate File 2337. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Amendment is adopted.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2337 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
That's all I had, right?
Okay, members, thank you for your patience. And I don't, I'm not aware of any other amendments, I'm sorry, or any other bills. Senator Pappas had talked about taking it from the table. She's not here. She's what?
She's homesick today.
She's homesick today. Did she want, did she indicate that she actually, well, here's what I'm going to do then. It's still on the table. I'm going to, she's not here. I don't feel comfortable. Oh, my God. Senator Pappas, we were just talking about you and just deciding on how to work with this. Senator Pappas, we just had finished, we had taken up the omnibus liquor bill and done that, and then we moved two separate bills, the buyer's card bill and the wine educator bill, to the Committee on Finance. And we were concluded, I did not know of any other bills, but you had expressed some desire to take your bill from the table and have a separate vote on that. And we can certainly do that if you wanted to do that. That's up to you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't remember the bill number. Here we go. Mr. Chairman, then I would move to take Senate File 2047 from the table.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Then, Mr.
On
Chairman,
Senate Bill 2047.
I think we had a hearing on it last week. I don't know if anyone has any questions. This is not the amended version, however. Do we need to make a motion to amend it?
That's correct, Senator Pappas.
Okay, then.
Carries the amendment.
I thought I made that.
It does carry.
Yes. I'm sorry, Senator Pappas, you did.
Okay, so just to be clear, we should be looking at the amended version, which is had deleted Section 1. My pen doesn't work. And in Section 2, none of these pens work. Thank you. Section 2 on 118, we changed 16 to 18 and 18 to 21. And on 116, we also changed 16 to 18 and 18 to 21. And on page 2-2, we changed 16 to 18. And I think on 2-1, we changed August 1st, 2011 to 2012. Are there any other changes we made, Ms. Mueller? Okay. And that's the bill that's before us? Okay.
Discussion of that bill. Senator Rest.
Chairman, I don't have that in my packet. And is there a committee engrossment? No? Okay.
Then just to repeat for the committee, we're just looking at Section 2, and we're just allowing people, individuals between the ages of 18 to 21, to you know, have a glass of wine with dinner with their parents. And I don't have my file with me, but as a reminder, there are, you know, over a dozen other states that allow this. And we did look up the issue with federal penalties, and it doesn't apply in this case because the person is not in possession of the liquor. That responsibility lies with their parents.
Any further discussion on the bill?
Then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 2047 be, as amended, be recommended to pass and be sent to transportation. Oh, well. Does it meet the deadline then? Why don't we just send it to the floor and see how it goes?
Probably a good thing Senator Metzen is not on this committee, knowing how he likes policy to be dealt with in policy committees.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make my motion to send it to the floor, and I'll talk to Senator Gimsey. And if it's a problem, then we'll have to re-refer it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Senator Gerlach.
I would move to amend the Pappas motion and not send it to the floor, but rather to send it to transportation, because I can, well, did he oh, okay. Because, Mr. Chairman, apparently they have requested it, and I can guarantee that it will be then, if it's on the floor, it will be pulled and into that committee. And Senator Pappas, and I want to be, you know, helpful to have you get a, you know, proper hearing or full hearing on this, and I think that way just bring more light to this in not a positive way. I just think it should go to transportation.
Okay.
That's why
I'll accept that then.
Senator Pappas renews her motion for Senate File 2047 to pass and go to as amended and go to transportation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Make the call.
How do I take a...
Just call. So
the motion prevails or the motion...
Motion prevails.
Division.
All those in favor, raise your hand. Those opposed? The motion prevails.
Thank you.
What's next? Oh, I'll take over that. I'll take over that.
Thank you.
Okay, then. Take back over, members. Then what we have, then I... As far as I know, we've completed action on any liquor-related legislation. So we'll have our omnibus bill, and we've handled all the other ones moving separately. And appreciate all of your patience and willingness to go along with a lot of amendments and getting this in the shape I think it needs to be as it goes forward here. So with that, then, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Senator Chamberlain, Senate File 2127. And then, Senator Chamberlain, maybe you could just tell us briefly what the idea of your bill is, and then we are going to be focusing in on Section 5, I guess, which does have a liquor provision, because we didn't move away from this entirely. But and you could explain what this is all about. So, Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is a financing package to construct a stadium for the Minnesota Vikings. This is it is not 84 pages. This is an 8-page document. It facilitates a financing regimen for the Vikings with partners including the Vikings NFL, business community, users, and the state. But before we get much further, I do have an author's amendment.
Okay, we'll hand out the A4 amendment. I'm sure everybody has that before we talk about it.
Mr. Chair, with this...
okay, let me make sure. Okay, members all have the A4 amendment. We don't all have it. Sorry.
I have it.
The A4 amendment is an author's amendment, so Senator Chamberlain moves adoption of the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion prevails, and the A4 amendment is adopted. Senator Chamberlain.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, basically what this amendment does is some technical fixes and puts the repayment of the loans 30 years at the bottom page one. It also removes a section regarding the business property tax. We remove that, and it adds a sunset, 2014, if this deal is not accepted by that time, then this becomes null and void. So some technical changes, remove the business property tax phase out piece, and added a sunset to it. In 1 minute, I'll just go over some of the highlights. Basically, this bill is site neutral. It doesn't use gaming money, no general fund money. Privately owned and operated. This other section doesn't apply. And there's no local contribution. As I mentioned earlier, the financing is primarily low-interest loan, revenue bonds, which would be repaid through user fees and supplemented or subsidized by business community and the Vikings partnership with the business community secured by a reserve fund to help pay back those bonds to the state. So it'll be paid for by the Vikings, NFL, our business community, user fees. The state would facilitate the loan, provide needed infrastructure, and a sales tax exemption for construction materials. So that's the overview. And now for the part that pertains to this committee in particular is, as the chairman mentioned, is Section 5 on page 3. Basically says that this is boilerplate stuff, as many of you probably already realize. It simply says, providing that the stadium gets built in some city somewhere, that the cities or towns or county could not deny a liquor license, a shall issue license, so they can sell liquor on premises. So that is the scope of it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Chamberlain, I just want to make sure I understand, and also that members understand the need for this. I know you said it's boilerplate language, but I know members that whether there's on sale or off sale, it's handled differently as far as liquor licenses go. And for off sale, if you're a city of the first class, there are limitations. Otherwise, cities don't have any limitations; it wouldn't matter. But this is for on sale, and cities of different classes have different limitations and such, and so. So that's why you need this here. Is that correct, Senator Chamberlain?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. There's no questions from members, are there? Do you have anybody to testify, Senator Chamberlain?
No. Mr. Chair.
Okay, Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Chamberlain, I am a member of the working group on the Viking Stadium and have just spent months and months and hours of discussion and working in good faith with several partners, whether it be the city of Minneapolis, talking to Arden Hills, talking with the Vikings. And so I would oppose this bill, and I think that it undermines the process. I think if you had approaches that you wanted to consider, we would have loved to have you be part of that conversation. You're talking about a bill that puts forward a proposal with regard to the Vikings that the Vikings doesn't support, and so I don't understand it, really the thinking on that do you think that if this were to go forward, then it would all work out?
Senator Chamberlain.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoff, I would have loved to have been part of those discussions the last 2 years. However, we have been shut out of those discussions. 75% of the people in this state have made it clear that they do not want public funding or tax or any sort of taxes or gaming to help support a stadium. And those people have not been heard. The people have been heard are the most powerful and influential political figures in the state, the governor, the majority leader, the minority leader, and the mayor of Minneapolis. The rest of the people have made it clear they do not want to pay for a stadium in any direct or indirect way. And I would not be surprised that the Vikings don't not here, by the way, because if they were here, they'd have cameras and media. So they don't want to have any attention on an alternative financing plan. What I'm trying to do is protect citizens and taxpayers in all 87 counties and the state of Minnesota from a financial disaster. The state of Minnesota cannot afford this, nor should we build a stadium on the backs of average Minnesotans to build a stadium for a billionaire. So I wanted to be part of those discussions, so would a lot of other people, but they have not been allowed into that tight, close-knit circle, and now that we are being told that we have to take it and that I should not present an alternative. In the State Senate, in the House, in Minnesota, we all have a right to be heard, and this is a bill that's legitimate that many people worked on for several months to develop and create the best interest of the state and the taxpayers. So we can continue talking about the policy and the meat of the bill, or we can focus on the liquor piece. But I thank you for the comments.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
Well, and Senator, we all do have the right to bring forward our ideas, and we have an equal election certificate. So whether you're part of any group or not part of any group, you do have that right, and I appreciate that. I'm just also suggesting that in order to really have something happen from an idea, that we, you know, you'd need to also get the stakeholders who are part of that group. And so I understand this is your attempt at saying you're not happy with what's on the table, and none of us are happy with everything that's on the table. But I would just encourage you to bring forth your conversation to the team and continue to have that discussion.
Thank you. I have a question myself, and then I'll call on Senator Vandeveer. Senator Chamberlain, maybe you can answer this, or maybe Senator Bonoff can answer this, because you mentioned you've been participating for many, many months. I'm wondering if is this provision within the any other bill that has been introduced on this topic, and is this was this part of the previous Twins Stadium bill? We're talking about Section 5, the specific reason the bill is before us, about the city that shall issue this additional on-sale liquor license. So I don't know, Senator Chamberlain, what do you know about this particular piece? Is this in all of the other bills, regardless of whatever else surrounds it?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, it is. I did take a brief look, and I believe it was in the other bill, and I did not look at the Twins bill, but it was in the other bill.
Okay. And Senator Moff, does that match your experience?
Mr. Chair, was not focused on this particular piece.
Okay. I just wondering if you knew. Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Chamberlain and Senator Bonoff. I don't think we have to sit and, demean the work of either group that put the bills together. I think, as you said, Senator Chamberlain has an election certificate and can bring forth whatever he wants. I think what his bill does is provide a framework in which a privately built stadium could be accomplished. And I think that's very reasonable, and I don't think whether he's part of any select group or not makes any difference, that we should look at the bill based on its merits and not any other, through any other lens, I guess, would be my position. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Then let me ask in the audience if there's anybody that wanted to speak to this bill. Now would be the time. So, okay. Well, then, with that, Senator Chamberlain moves that Senate File 2127 recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Taxes. All those. Oh, Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, wouldn't it have to go to Jobs first?
Senator Bonoff, they did not request it. Taxes did, and I don't know. If I suppose they could, oftentimes that if it's going to be, that might be a logical path. But as you know, not all bills follow that the perfect pristine path. But we've been instructed to send it to taxes.
Okay.
No, any other discussion then on that motion? Then Senator Chamberlain renews that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no.
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 The motion prevails, and division has been requested. And we do have some other members that have specifically said they do want to vote on this. And as I said at the beginning of the committee hearing, that if there is, that they want to be present. And so what we're going to do then, the division has been called for, so we're going to hold on and find out where those members are.
Mr. Chairman.
So, yes, Senator Rest.
Could just temporarily lay the bill on the table and then take it back
yes.
up when they get here, if you want to move on.
And Senator Rest, parliamentarily, can you, if you're in the middle of a vote on a division, can you lay a division on the
I'm
table?
Sorry.
I'm not sure.
No, you can't. I'm sorry.
And no. So
we have to wait.
Could you recess?
All right. So we'll just have to hold on for a moment.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I can remove my, withdraw my request for a division.
Senator Bonner, you could. That's entirely up to you.
But then wouldn't the ruling stand? Just wait.
Okay.
Chair, you have any good humor to share with us today?
I was just going to say the same thing.
Always filled with good, always filled with good humor. That was the only specific request.
Correct.
Okay, then a division being called for on the vote for Senate File 2127. All those in favor, raise your hand. And those opposed? Okay, members, the vote being 8-5. The motion does prevail, and Senate File 2127 is recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And then the next bill on our agenda is Senate File 2185. Senator Brown. And I need to go check in on the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Morning, Senator Brown. Proceed.
Before us today, I have Senate File number 2185. Each year at the legislature, we find laws that need updating to reflect the current business entity status. Senate File number 2185 updates Chapter 53 of Minnesota statutes to include limited liability companies. Chapter 53 was originally enacted in 1933 and only references corporations under the Minnesota Business Corporations Act. The Minnesota Limited Liability Company Act was enacted in 1992, but to date, Chapter 53 has not been revised to include limited liability companies. I ask for your support in passing Senate File number 2185 in order to complete this update. I also, Mr. Chair, have an oral amendment.
Senator Brown, what state your oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, I would like to delete the entire Section 6 on Senate File 2185.
Mr. Stang, would you go ahead and repeat that?
The section is no longer needed, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, what section was that, Mr. Chair?
Senator
Brown moves that we delete Section 6. Is there any discussion on that? Senator Rest?
It's a reference. Why?
Oh, we no longer need this section in the bill.
And why?
I can allow my testifier to come explain that.
And I believe this is an author's amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
I'm curious. Yeah. Yes,
Senator
fine.
Rest?
Vote on it, and then I'll ask why.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It is adopted. Senator Brown, to your bill.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I do have someone here to testify on behalf of this bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Todd Phelps with Leonard Street and Diner. Here just to testify on behalf of the bill. This is just a simple update to include limited liability companies under the Minnesota Limited Liability Company Act under Chapter 53. Previously, Chapter 53 only included corporations under the Minnesota Corporations Act. Limited liability companies are very common business entity selection, and this would allow limited liability companies to operate under Chapter 53.
Senator Rest, now your question.
Yeah, I'd like to know why, and then I'd like to know why it's taking you 20 years. I'm serious. What has changed, Senator Brown, that occasions bringing these RIF companies under the limited liability company law, which, by the way, I was the author of.
Senator Brown.
I'm having a little hard time hearing you, Senator Rest, but no.
Why has it taken 20 years, and why now to include these RIF companies under the limited liability company?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, I don't know why it's taken 20 years, but
maybe
we are here today to work
Chairman,
on it.
Mr. Chairman, maybe you're – I have no objection to it. I'm just curious. Maybe your testifier knows.
Testifier, please proceed.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, it simply hasn't been – there hasn't been an interest in updating it to this point.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Are there limited liability are there thrift companies that are your clients that have asked to change the way in which they are organized, or is this coming at the recommendation of the Bar Association? Where is this particular updating coming from?
Mr. Phelps or Senator Brown?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, limited liability companies simply offer greater flexibility in terms of how they're structured, and yes, to answer your question, yes, there are industrial loan thrifts that are interested in operating under the Minnesota Limited Liability Company Act.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think you answered my question. Do you have clients that are limited that are thrift companies that wanted this change?
Mr. Phelps.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, to answer your question, yes, they're interested in exploring that. Thank you.
Senator Brown, I'm just wondering, were there any other testifiers for or any other testifiers against your bill?
I was not contacted by anyone. I can say that the Department of Commerce, this was discussed with them. They're not opposed to this. I'm not aware of any opposition with any state agency or anyone else who is opposed to this.
That's helpful. Thank you. Questions? Senator Eaton?
Thank you. My question is that by removing that Section 6, I believe it was, does that eliminate the ability for a, LLC to act as a pawn shop?
Mr. Phelps.
Mr. Chair, Senator Eaton, no, it does not.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Brown renews his motion that Senate File 2185, as amended, be recommended to pass and be sent to general orders. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted. Senate File 2185, as amended, is passed and sent to general orders. Thank you. Next on the agenda is Senator Gazelka. So, Senator Brown or Senator Cruz.
Senator Gazelka, welcome to the committee. Before us, we have Senate File 2342. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do have an A1 amendment, author's amendment, that I would like to adopt first, if we can.
Thank you, Senator Gazelka. We're going to get that out, and then we'll get that moved for you.
Chair, if you don't mind, as we're passing that out, I guess I can briefly talk about the bill. On my left is Bob Johnson from the Insurance Federation, and on my right is Kevin Goodnow from the Chiropractors Association.
Thank you.
It's our plan to improve the no-fault system, and we are trying to find peace in the valley. The author of this bill in the House is Representative Abler, a chiropractor. I'm the author on this side, an insurance agent, and the four of us are working to find some improvements in our automobile no-fault insurance. And so I wanted you to see that we're working together on this bill as we move forward.
Senator Gazelka, why don't we, now that we have that amendment passed out, why don't we have you go ahead and move that A1 amendment, get the bill in the shape that you're looking for?
I move the A1 amendment.
Members, any discussion to the A1 author's amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Gazelka, I know that you have worked very hard on this, and to see both sides come together is fantastic. Why don't we go ahead and hear the testimony on the bill as you would like?
Thank you. I'll start with Bob Johnson.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota. And it does make a difference here. A year later, Mr. Goodnow and I were at the table opposing each other. There was some legislation that Senator Gazelka carried that, while passed the committee, it didn't pass the legislature. But coming out of last year, we commenced a process at the urging of the chairs and the committee chairs and the chief authors to have the Minnesota Chiropractors Association sit down with our industry, the auto insurers. And so that process, we did commence that, had a number of constructive meetings.
Senator Rest?
Mr. Chairman and gentlemen, I think it's wonderful that you all have agreed, but it would really be nice if you would explain the bill.
Absolutely.
And then maybe we could understand what the agreement is.
Absolutely.
And you haven't done that yet, Senator Gazelka.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Chairman, committee
Johnson.
Members, that was just to say that we had the process. The bill that you have before you as amended is a targeted improvement to 65B.54 sub 6. It's a current no-fault law that deals with unethical practices of providers who treat individuals in car accidents. And the operative language, as you have in front of you, is a new paragraph D that, again, follows up on the current law that governs the advertisements and the behavior of providers to specifically deal with outreach, advertisements, solicitation activities of providers to deal with and require that the providers use their own legal name or the legal name of their clinic, and to prohibits the use of fictitious names or assumed names, and then also requires that the legal name of the provider has to be prominently displayed or referenced in the solicitation and accurately describe what their practice is. So it's a follow-up to current law. It already deals with the outreach, solicitations, advertisements of providers. And, again, it's a pretty selected, targeted reform. It's one of the issues, Senator S., that we had at the table before us amongst a number of issues. And if I can, just one final statement is that I did even this morning talk to an Elizabeth Quam, who is the executive director of the CDI Quality Institute. There's some concerns that have been flagged about particularly the sentence about the legal name of a licensee and how it's used. And I've talked to Elizabeth Quam and have acknowledged that and asked her or any others that believe there might be some unintended impact in terms of how some healthcare providers are structured, how they use their names. We're interested in that input. I believe that that there might be some adjustments so that we don't impact some current provider structures or how their names are used, because that's not the intention. So we've asked for, and I even this morning asked for input from Ms. Quam about some possible tweaking of the language. And we've had the same discussion at the table with Mr. Goodnow here and the Minnesota Chiropractors Association. So Mr. Chairman and committee members. That would be my comments on the new paragraph D.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what problem, Senator Gazelka, will this language solve?
Senator Gazelka.
In terms of what's going on currently. I mean, what is this a solution to?
Senator Rest, I'll let them comment, but my general response would be that perhaps there are some outliers in the industry that use advertisement, perhaps out of Florida companies that tend to get a lot of care directed their way, and perhaps they have a lot of modalities that they run through the treatment. And there's presently not the tightest language to correct some of that in no fault. It's fairly broad. And so we're trying to deal with one of those issues, but I'd really rather have them be more specific than what I just said.
Okay, well,
Senator Rest?
I am interested in, you know, I mean, it was a common question that Senator Gerlach would ask on about almost any bill.
And Senator Rest, it was a good question.
What problem does this solve? Senator, Representative, Mr. Goodnow.
Mr. Goodnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Rest, I apologize. I won't apologize for never being a senator, but it was most of the other things that you mentioned. But, and I have been called worse, by the way.
Something to feel bad about.
Members of the committee, I think, first of all, I'm Kevin Goodnow, I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Chiropractors Association. We have been engaged in discussions for over a year trying to deal with and identify the various concerns that both sides have with the current no-fault system. This last year we had just the valley. I think the goal is to have peace in the valley. We have a ceasefire right now, and we're trying to find a solution on one part of those where those problems are. From the Chiropractors Association, the concern that we're trying to address is deceptive advertising. We want people, patients, injured individuals who want to access care because they were injured in an auto accident to know when they call a number, when they go to somebody who's advertised, that they know that it's either a provider or a referral source, or that it's very clear to them what the advertisement is and who those people are that are advertising their wares. And so for us, it's an issue of deceptive advertising, making sure that people who are accessing health care know exactly the conduit by which they're accessing it. And in this case, the language would clarify and specify that you need to use, if you're a health care provider advertising, you need to use your legal name. We do have some concerns. There's still some issues outstanding. This is very technical in nature and trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and we want to make sure there are no unintended consequences. We're committed to continue to work with the Insurance Federation, Senator Gazelka, and other interested parties to try to make sure that this bill works the way it's intended to. So there are likely to be some modifications that need to be made to it, as Senator Gazelka mentioned. But we do agree that there is a problem out there, or if not a problem, at least a perceived problem with deceptive practices by some providers out there.
Thank you, Mr. Goodnow. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Gazelka, on lines 2.26, 2.27, 2.28, I can't begin to understand why, if you're advertising, you wouldn't be allowed by law to include a telephone number, internet address, or, and then what does that mean, other misleading description of the provider?
Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Goodnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff. I believe if you look at the language carefully, it just says that those issues cannot be used in the name, in your legal name. But it is one of those things that I think is attempting to get after the perceived concerns out there, and I'm not sure if it accurately takes care of that problem. And so it's one of those issues we need to
see. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, so if somebody's legal name is also their internet address, I don't understand, why do you care? Why would we want to have that in law?
Mr. Johnson?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, there are some names out there that have phone numbers. And we believe, I think I can say jointly, believe that to be today misleading to consumers. You just see a phone number, that doesn't actually tell you what the business is or what you're doing. And so if consumers just see a phone number, that's what the advertisement is, that's confusing and potentially deceptive or misleading. So it's a very targeted. I think it's a very limited circumstance where you're going to see that prospect coming up, but it does. And so that's what it's targeted to do is, again, if it's not going to impact any provider who has a name that's kind of you'd expect to have a provider name or clinic or operation or whatever, it's more likely. So it's intended to focus in on that particular type of activity.
Mr.
Senator
Chair,
Ivanov.
I think this sentence does not belong here because to say that a legal name of a provider's clinic shall accurately describe the nature of its practice, somebody could just have their, for example, the place I go to for many years, if I'm getting chiropractic care, is Kenwood Chiropractic, not that I'm advertising for them. But so does that tell what they do? I suppose a little bit, but what if somebody had a name that was just, back? What I can't give you the exact, but I don't understand why.
Kenwood Clinic.
Yeah, Kenwood Clinic.
Senator Rest.
Yeah, I don't think this is a sentence that should be in law, and so I would propose that you consider taking that out. But then before I give up the floor, I also want to tell you that this pecuniary. So I didn't know what that meant, but I did look it up. And it says, for anyone else who doesn't know what it means, of relating to or consisting of money. So a runner, capper, or steerer means a person who for
Senator Bonhoff, which line are you referencing?
3.7. Is that gone now? Okay, thank you. I withdraw that because that was very strange, too.
Mr. Senator Bonhoff?
Yeah, so I do move then that on line 2.26, strike after period, after advertisement period, that the everything that follows beyond that up to 2.28, the period, is stricken.
So, members, just to clarify that, starting on line 2.26, following advertisement period, we will delete everything to the end of that line. Following, also delete lines 2.27 and 2.28. Discussion to the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll just say that.
Senator Gazelka.
That's fine.
All those in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no.
Nay.
No.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gazelka, in the in your author's amendment, which was to take out Section 2 as well as lines 229 through 234, did you also then take out line 112 and 113, since it refers to that definition that you've now removed.
Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to let the testifiers respond to that.
Mr. Chairman and Senator.
Mr. Johnson.
Senator Rass. That refers to the current criminal code statute, which is still on the books. So this is a clarifying cross-reference to be added to 65B.54 that we think it's a helpful addition. So the answer is that it stands by itself so that it references the current criminal code statute on runners and cappers, which is the 609.612.
Senator Rest?
I see. So you're still having that. You're still having it in there. In a sense, what you're just doing is taking out the new language.
You're not
adding any new language. You're just making a reference to what is currently
Mr.
there.
Chairman, Senator.
Mr. Johnson.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Members, any further discussion to the bill as amended?
Mr. Chairman. Apologized.
We'll move on to further testimony then. Please introduce yourself for the record.
I know. I didn't know you'd do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Joel Carlson. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Association for Justice, and I knew there was going to be some amendments to the bill. I didn't know what all they were going to entail, but there is one particular concern we have with the bill, and it is on page 2, and it's lines 2.232 to 2.34. And this is probably, you know, a issue better sorted out in the Judiciary Committee, but it allows
Mr. Carlson.
Yes,
I believe that part of the bill has been deleted out.
There weren't copies of the A1 amendment, so I didn't know that where we were at on that. So
tell us.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Mr.
Glad it's out of there.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Carlson. Members, any further discussion to the bill as amended?
Yes, not only that, but
we'll make one last call for any testifiers for or against the legislation. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Grzelko, where does this bill go from here?
Senator Rest, I believe we are going to send this on to the floor. All of the items that would have sent it to Judiciary have now been deleted.
That's correct.
Seeing no further testifiers and no further discussion, Senator Grzelko moves that Senate File 2342 is amended, be recommended to pass, and sent to general orders. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay, members, item 5 on the agenda, Senate File 2075, has been removed from the agenda. So we are now moving on to the final agenda item, number 6, Senate File 2324, Senator Peterson. And we get to delve into the world of occupational licensure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We have before you today Senate File 2324, and I do have an amendment for your consideration, and then actually a little oral amendment on top of that. It's A4, please.
Okay. The A4 is an author's amendment to this bill, and Senator Chamberlain moves adoption of the A4 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion prevails, and the A4 amendment is adopted. Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair and members, for an oral amendment on line 1.2 of the A4 amendment now, I just need to change the word on to for, F-O-R, just simply because these satellite units sometimes are put on a pole rather than on the dwelling, something apart from the dwelling. It's just a technical change. And then on line 1.9, on the amendment, I need to change the word or. There's the word or is used 3 times, and we just need to delete that third or.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, one moment. I want to make sure I have this down. Third or. Okay. Senator Cruz.
Being that we have already adopted the A4 amendment and are now speaking to the bill, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be appropriate to reconsider the amendment, amend the A4 before we move on that, or if we can do this to the legislation is now amended.
Right. Senator Cruz, we often do amend amendments that have been adopted because we're still, even though it's on the bill, it's still some author's amendments, and we'll get the bill in the shape that the author wants it. We can go either. I mean, we could have gone it either way, so we're okay with doing it this way. So, Senator Peterson, is there any? Those are the only two. Okay,
that's correct.
If Council could repeat the oral amendment and those two changes,
Mr. Chairman, members, line 1.2 of the A4 amendment, delete on and insert for F-O-R, and on line 9 of the A4 amendment, after the word delete, insert the third.
Okay, members.
And then continue the rest, the third or and insert and.
Nothing else changes, yes. Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas. Nothing else changes in that except inserting the third after delete.
Okay.
Okay, members. Senator Chamberlain moves adoption of both of the oral amendment as restated by council. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. And the motion prevails. And the oral amendment is adopted. So now, Senator Peterson, the bill is in the shape as you'd like to present it to us. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This Senate file relates specifically to satellite installers and how they've been operating currently under the electrical code. This is a minor change that basically, because these satellite systems deal with low voltage wiring, it's a change that would accommodate the training and facilitation of the folks working in this industry in order to better service their customers. What this bill would do currently, if there's a company that installs satellite dishes, it would allow their employees to work under their contractor's license or builder's license. It would not restrict somebody from installing their own satellite dish at all as an individual homeowner. But then it creates certification for the independent contractors that are operating in that situation. And I have some folks that want to come and testify specifically to this issue. We have Mr. Zach Webster and then Ms. Judy Cook both have some comments relating to this.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Judy Cook with Cook Girard Associates, representing the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. And we are here today to support Senate File 2324. As Senator Peterson noted, I have Mr. Webster here who can talk specifically about it. He knows all the details. But basically, what we are doing is we want to make sure that the people who install satellite systems know that and are very proficient in installing satellite systems, but currently they have to have a low-voltage technician license, which requires them to know quite a bit of other things that are not necessary for the work that they are doing and creates a very high bar and a lot of cost to being able to do that job. And what we're creating now is a new system over at the Department of Labor and Industry so that they do not have to have the low voltage power technician license, but just have to go through a certification process so they know how to install satellites. And this is very important for the retailers who and the businesses who sell and install satellite systems. We want to thank Senator Peterson very much for all his work. And also we've worked with the Department of Labor and Industry and the IBEW in reaching an agreement on this legislation. And we appreciate that very much as well. And I will turn it over to Mr. Webster.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Zach Webster. I'm owner of Satellite Consultants. We are a retailer and provider in Burnsville, Minnesota, and we service the entire metro area. I'm here on behalf today to support the SBCA on this amendment. The file 2324, which would lessen the burdens of the occupational licensing on many business individuals. Compliance with the current licensing requirements creates a hardship for small businesses involved in the sale and installation of satellite television in Minnesota. The exam criteria for the power limited covers material not applicable, such as the knowledge of swimming pools, fire alarms, outdoor lighting, refrigeration, air conditioning, and central heating, far exceeding what is necessary for the satellite installation. Prior to obtaining the license, an individual must complete 3 years apprenticeship with a licensee. Since satellite technicians are installing a single technology, such lengthy apprenticeship creates an unnecessary burden on the industry and small owner-operated businesses. Even if a technician meets the requirements for licensure, frequently classes and seating for the exam have been backlogged many months, resulting in significant delays for individuals to obtain license. Typically, installers of satellite systems do not work exclusively or work exclusively, making this knowledge irrelevant. The SBCA supports reasonable regulations and the required training. Skills required to perform the work of the satellite service business. The SBCA, along with industry leaders, has developed the SBCA National Standards and Testing Program, providing an industry-endorsed benchmark of knowledge for the installation and products. The program aims to ensure that installers are properly installing systems, improving services to consumers, and complying with codes and regulations of the state. We support SF2324 because it will allow the Department of Labor and Industry to administer a certification program that will focus on the skills and knowledge specifically needed to install satellite systems in residential settings and significantly reduce the licensure burden for satellite installers. Basically, in short, in my terms, as the owner of Satellite Consultants, we've gone from not needing any sort of license to needing the most strict, and now we're bringing it back down to what actually pertains to us. A easy way to explain it would be asking all of you guys to go get a Class A truck driver's license when all you do is drive a SUV. So we're trying to bring it back down to that particular standpoint. So thank you for your time.
Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator, is license necessary versus just certification? I think this committee has been discussing that throughout the course of the session, the amount of licensure requirements we place on people who work in our community.
Senator Peterson.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, I don't serve on this committee, and I am very confused by the licensing and recertification aspect of that whole. I understand this committee has worked to try and clarify that, and I do understand the challenges here, but it's a situation where we do have the industry that's agreeing. Folks that were somewhat in opposition to this in the beginning have now agreed, and so we believe we have a solution here that that helps out a small portion of folks that have really been challenged by this licensing situation and certification situation we have. So my hope is you can support this agreement at this point.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, I have a few questions. I want to make sure members understand as well. So as we've discussed the situation and members that, and I think as your witness, Mr. Webster, pointed out, so originally, I don't know, going back how far, there was no regulation on satellite dish installers.
That is correct.
Just you'd go do it. And then I guess somebody came to the legislature and said, these people need to be licensed. I don't know if it was your industry or it was somebody else, but then the legislature moved the bar, well, I could say up, moved the bar up to here, is what you're saying.
Correct.
And that is, there are some areas that you've had to, that are required in that or that bar that aren't even remotely connected to what you do. I know you stated a couple of those.
Correct. Some of those items are refrigeration, lawn sprinkler systems, fire alarms, refrigeration, because, I mean, pretty much every circuit out there has some sort of low voltage. So they basically took, because we are a low voltage system, took it and just threw it in with the mass of it, and we are not a part of that mass. We have our own system, own low voltage. We typically only install one product. We don't deal with all the products. We do, recognize that we do need to have training when it comes to the NEC code, and that's what the SPCA is here as help support us for that training to make sure that we are still in accordance with state laws and regulations when it comes to the proper grounding that is required for the satellites. But other than that, the rest of it does not pertain to our type of business.
Okay. And then if I could also zero in on the continuing education, I know you had in the amendment you have it at 4 hours. And continuing education is particularly something that we've discussed in this committee and we have looked at over the years. And the question is always, well, is that continuing education pertinent to the field, or is it an arbitrary number? And then one of the big issues we deal with is, does the continuing education serve a public purpose, or is it to fill the hours you end up doing marketing or things that are about your business as opposed to what is the public interest? I know that there are some building codes issues. Can you or maybe Ms. Cook speak to what the thought is on the continuing education for this?
The continuing education really evolves around the code itself. The NEC, updates every year, several years. There's always new amendments to that. There's also new technologies out there as far as the grounding processes. that are adopted by the law and that we need to be aware of as far as what used to be a viable ground source is no longer, you know, through the, you know, changes in legislation. So with that, we need to be, you know, informed about those particular things as those amendments happen.
Okay. Members, any questions for the testifiers then? Okay, then is there anybody else, Senator Peterson, that you wanted to testify on the bill?
Not that I'm aware of at this time.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience that wanted to testify on the bill? I know. Okay, well, then let me just make a comment. You said that you had, this is for Senator Peterson, that you had sort of a peace in the valley with the IBEW as well, which is miraculous that you've, I mean, these things generally are very, very contentious, but you've come up with something that seems to work. So I applaud you for that. It looks like somebody from a department also would like to speak, so welcome to the committee.
It's a pleasure to be in front of this committee. I'm rarely here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All I wanted to add was we do support.
If you could state your name for
the record. My name is John Rakuski with the Department of Labor and Industry, and we support the bill, but just a minor housekeeping item. During the discussion, I was recalling that we did a very small minor fiscal note on this, but it's not here today. I just wanted you to know that. It's in your packet.
For your finance? Okay. Okay, then the motion would be to send it to finance. So when that fiscal note would come, that could be dealt with in that committee. Okay. All right. Yes, Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Rakowski, do you know what the fiscal note was? It sounds like it's already been done and that it was meant to be here for our consideration.
Sometimes the deadlines get,
oh, he does.
You know, especially this week, it may be due on Monday. And
oh, okay.
So.
Never mind.
Oh, Senator Bonhoff, it looks like there was a preliminary one. There are copies of the preliminary one. But I don't know if you wanted to see that before right now or take that up in finance. It's up to
okay.
It's up to you.
Can he just read it or just
maybe
tell us?
If our fiscal analyst would.
If he's got it.
Oh, he's got it. I guess we can hand it out. Just
secret. Oh, yeah. Mr. Chair.
Senator Peterson.
And members, I have not seen it yet either, but I was just told that it was less than $10,000, so I thought I should double check and see if.
Senator Peterson, we're going to be taking this out of your per diem then.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I do have a bill that takes per diem out of the retirement. So.
Okay. All members should have that. Senator Bonhoff, does that answer your? Is that okay? And Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Peterson, because it's there, you need to go to finance. But I would suggest to you that when you get there, that you have an amendment that says the department will use existing resources and. Mr. Chairman, if we put that amendment on right now, would it still have to go to finance?
I
don't think so.
I'll ask Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, the fiscal note actually shows some savings when you account for the revenue. They would actually collect more revenue than what the new expenses would be. The first year, it's expected to collect at labor and industry $26,000 of revenue, and then expenditures would be 15. So it'd be there'd be a little bit of actual surplus in that building code fund, and then ongoing the revenues would alternate every other year because it's a 2-year license. So it'd be about $20,000.
Well, then, Mr. Chairman, then if the department. And then it should go to finance so that they can capture this.
Got to book that. Okay. Senator Vanderby, did you have something or not? Okay. Okay, then. Thank you, Mr. Rakowski. Oh. Okay, then. Senator Gazelka moves that Senate file 2324 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails, and Senate File 2324, as amended, is recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, are you going to let us know what the schedule for the coming week is?
Yes, Senator Rest, as soon as I've figured that out. No, yes, members. We will be, we plan on Tuesday and Wednesday, our regular committee times for sure. And there will be numerous bills that have met first deadline in the House that we will be hearing, and we'll keep you posted on those. I mean, they will be posted.
So at least the regular time.
But certainly plan on Tuesday and Wednesday, and hopefully not any more than that. Okay, members, then thank you very much. There's no other business. The committee is adjourned.